okay, Maka, let me fucking listen to this, I guess.
Okay, so I didn't hear it at all. I assumed it would have been bad, but how was it?
Bad.
Okay, all right. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We're back.
We are back.
This is a music podcast from Syndicate 23. We're going to be talking about music news and culture and reviews and even dabbling a little bit of movies. Definitely dabbling a little bit of culture. I am Dan from the internet, joined by
Sean from Triathlon. I feel like getting my own title because you're like, I'm Dan from the internet. I'm Sean. Hi.
Yeah, that's just like
I need my own title now.
You know, I should just drop the from the internet. That's a little too formal. So just right. Go by Dan. Mm-hmm. From now on.
What are you getting quoted from news stories or something?
not this week, at least. But yeah, there was a lot over... Well, the reason we didn't do a podcast last week was just like, A, we've been doing it for like mostly just like weeks running, so we were taking a bit of a break. And B, we just noticed that like there wasn't a lot of news happening last week. And so like last week's episode would have been like rushing to push it together, like... Put it together. It really wouldn't have been much. So, like, huh?
We need to take a break, you know? It's like...
Exactly.
We're busy dudes. We got shit to do. And we're like, you know, all right. We kind of missed this. Let's
recharge the batteries.
Let's do this. Recharge the batteries. You know, the Tesla batteries. But, you know, Tesla... Don't invest in Tesla.
First off, kind of miss it. We're basically messaging each other all week. Essentially doing the podcast via text.
Yeah. On that WhatsApp.
That's us.
We're going nuts.
All right, so first story. Noted little bitch Ed Sheeran has canceled tour dates because of breaking both of his arms in a cycling accident. Now, if you don't know, we refer to him as noted little bitch Ed Sheeran because Ed Sheeran deleted his Twitter account, and audio face rule, we might be at 4 or 5 now, is if you delete your social media account because of being harassed online and you're a white dude, you're a little bitch.
Right, but apparently he was struck by a car, so I give him a pass because, as a cyclist myself and a pro triathlete, that's what I do for a living. And I know many people who have been, I've known many people who have been hit by cars, and I've been almost sideswiped by cars before. So, yeah, I'll give him a pass on that. Fuck you, drivers! God damn it.
No, yeah, like
it's a whole thing. It's been really bad this year. We've had a couple of deaths in pro cycling and other stuff with cars, and now, I mean, it's really dangerous. I don't know why this year it's like road rage or something has been going on where a lot of people are getting hit by cars and bikes, and it's sad. I really hate to see that.
I mean, if we could turn this podcast into an urban development audio show and not lose all of our listeners in the meantime for at least the next 45 seconds, maybe it could be because at least in, I'm coming to you from Freeze Peach Studios in Berkeley, California, but in Berkeley, we have a lot of bike lanes installed and people aren't used to them. They're supposed to, like, protect cyclists really well because, like, they have those, like, metal-ish barriers, but, like, really, like, thin poles, I guess. I have some of them in Long Beach down, too. And
right.
Maybe it's just people aren't used to... Probably Berkeley's, like, the better of these cities, right? And Long Beach is definitely, like, the better of a bike city, right? But there are probably a lot of cities that are... good.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but...
Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry, I can finish. Like, I was just gonna say that, I think maybe cities that aren't as bike-heavy as Long Beach or Berkeley, even, like, other, like, kind of more urban areas, are just starting to get bike lanes, but they're getting the bike lanes where, like... okay, we, like, right next to the parking, but right next to the right lane, we cut out, like, a 1 foot little, like, line where the bikes can go, but sometimes the car's gonna be there, too, trying to turn, so, like, have fun.
Yeah. Could be that. It's that, and it's, mainly a lot of drivers don't know what to do, and they panic. That's what it seems to me, because I see that on a daily basis, basically, when I'm riding, where people just, like, oh, what do I do, what do I do? It's pretty simple, you just leave us room. But yeah, I mean, it's something I know here in the US it's not really taught in driving school or anything. I'm not sure about how it is in the UK or anything, but I know there's been a lot of accidents over there.
Then it's been a whole issue, like the well, the controversy of, like, cycling in streets, but I don't want to get too far into an actual
conversation. Yeah, I mean, I could honestly talk about it for an hour easily, but this is a music podcast, and I'm giving Ed Sheeran a post, even though I really don't like most of his music, or his latest music, but being hit by a car is never great, and I want him to have a speedy recovery on that, because that's just shit, you know? So.
Yeah, in all seriousness, like, yeah, we do want to admit that Ed Sheeran is a little bitch for quitting Twitter, but of course, like, there's nothing you can, like, really do about a cycling accident. It's tragic, and hope the best for his recovery. He's canceled some tour dates because of that, and he may cancel more just depending on how he recovers, but, like, he can't... both of his arms are broken, essentially.
Yeah, he has fractures in his right arm and left wrist, so he's like, well, he's not playing guitar anytime soon, so...
Yeah. It's not like he can just press play. Anyways,
let's move on.
Anyways, so next story, Solange, the recent like star, like idol, like icon from the Knowles family, recently kind of owned the Evening Standard magazine in London, the weekly newspaper, because for a photo shoot that she did. You know, especially a lot of Solange's work is about, like, Afro natural hair. And so, she had her hair in this... It's interesting to describe for listeners, but I guess it's, like... Her hair's, like, kind of braided on the top, but essentially flat. And then, at the top, there's, like, this circle with a line through it that's kind of, like, suspending it over the top of her head. That was really big. And,
Wild.
Yeah, right? But, that was for the Evening Standard, like, cover shoot. In the Evening Standard, they edited out the part of her hair that was, like, extra extended for whatever reason. Probably for, like, space in the magazine. Which, like, I guess you can't be too upset about because, I mean, oh no, a magazine photoshopped a cover. When has that ever happened before? That's wild. But it's especially ironic that Solange's hair was cut out when literally a single from her latest album that she's on a sold-out tour for starts with "Don't touch my hair."
Right.
So, rightfully,
it's just really ironic.
So, rightfully, Solange just like destroys the Evening Standard magazine. They have to pull the cover. And to be fair, I like usually a lot of these decisions aren't made by the journalists themselves. So I want to like give them credit. Angelica Jade, who wrote the original story, had no say. Like the cover story for Evening Standard of Solange. Had no say in the, like, cover, which is totally reasonable. That definitely happens. And so, like, she felt bad about it, and she was upset, and London Evening Standard issued an apology. But, yeah, I really... little stories like this, hashtag no politics, it reminds me about how out of touch some people are.
Yeah, I mean... I just think it's super ironic. When you put the link in there, I go, wow, that's... Yeah.
There's just, like, a little bit... Just a little bit of research that would go into it. Plus, like, hair is not... Hair isn't a thing you usually, like, Photoshop off. You may Photoshop to, like, make it look bit nicer or straighter. Yeah, more hair even. But you don't really Photoshop it off. And so that's, like, a really weird thing. And I mean, I feel like as a media person, I would have asked, like, Solange's people, like, hey, we're going to be representing your likeness in this way. Or maybe that was included in a contract where they could edit anything. But, like, this... Really, it's such a bad move. Such a bad call.
Doesn't, you know, it's a bad look.
Journalism versus music has taken a real blow, and later in the show we're going to be talking about Coldplay, Radiohead, and Fox News.
Jesus Christ.
Episode 23 of Audio Face on the Syndicate 23 Network might be the end of my career. I am going to say things, but that'll be later in the show. Next up, let's get into some meat and potatoes of music news.
Friends, favorite term for the We Made a Podcast.
We Made a Podcast on Syndicate 23 Network. Check them out. Again, like, Syndicate 23, this is like a content network of many different things. Right now it's podcasts, and Dan for the Internet stuff is included in Syndicate 23, and Recording for Duty as well. Check those things out at syndicate23.co. But done with the shameless plugging. Franz Ferdinand. Band's been around for a while, actually. They've announced a new album and single, both of which are titled Always Ascending. So, Audio Face rule, we listen to the single, we're not listening to anything else until they release their next album in...
Our one rule.
2018, right?
I believe so, early 2018. I think
Yeah.
that's what they said. I have to check, double check on that. But they
I'm
have a
pretty sure.
single.
Yeah, how's the single for you?
I liked it. It starts off really slow for the first about minute or so.
Yeah, it has like a build up for sure.
I mean, it's kind of fitting because always ascending. It's ascending.
Yeah.
Shitty pun. And I was kind of worried when it came right out of the kind of the intro part of the song, because it sounded like it was like a shitty electronic thing. It just sounded really weird, and then it got good afterwards. It had a really weird theme to it, if that makes any sense. I can't really explain it, but you should listen to it. Overall, I like the song, but I was caught off guard because I didn't know what to expect, and I really didn't know that they were gonna try to do something different, and it sounded pretty good. Like, it sounds
Yeah.
like Franz Ferdinand, but like an evolution of them so far, which is good, and I always want artists to do. That's my one of the banes of my existence is, hey, change your shit, try to do something different, but
I'm
keep your
so.
sound. It's that fine line. You don't want to be offside. You don't want that flag to come up. You want to tiptoe right on that defender's toe, and then when you get that cross in, you go and you score a goal. It's a football reference for anybody.
How's
Soccer.
Bayern doing?
It is 2-0 Leipzig against Leipzig. Game hasn't started back yet, so that's how
Hey, while
you
we're talking
can
about soccer,
timestamp.
we'd be talking about soccer on the We Made It Now. But let me get back to the Franz Ferdinand album really fast. I like what you brought up, and I'm glad you brought it up because this is like the audio phase conversation of how does an artist that has been around for a while reinvent, like a pretty good artist too, like a pretty good band like Franz Ferdinand. Their previous songs been like really great. They've been alternative hits, quite honestly. Maybe not as much so in America, but I think pretty much so in America. They've been like commercials and shit. But it's like, of course, that same conversation of how do you change that? How do you evolve that? And so a lot of things look good from this album. There's 10 songs on the track list. They didn't go crazy. That's good. Their last album was 2013, and so that means they've had a lot
That
of
was
time to
really
really go through
2013.
things. Yeah. Right Thoughts was 2013.
Wow. Yeah, I'm actually really surprised. I didn't realize it was that far ago. Already 4 years ago. It's kind of
Yeah.
wild.
And also, just as an update, the album drops on February 9th. So, yeah, early 2018. We'll definitely be
Yeah.
reviewing that.
Definitely
And
be doing that. If our
that,
podcast is
that.
still alive by then, but
We'll be doing it. We're doing really. Setting at 23 is looking great right now, honestly.
We're doing good. We're doing things. We're doing it
Numbers are
pretty
great.
good.
Numbers are great. Thank you all so much for listening. I don't say that enough, but like, thank you all to listeners. Like, keep like listening, keep interacting with us on social media. Like, it's super
Right?
fun. But literally, so like, mind is everywhere this morning. But I guess kind of always is. Anyway, so it looks good. They've taken a couple years to make this album. They have a new guitarist because they like parted ways with their like other guitarist, their
Oh, I didn't
starting
know that.
guitarist, Mike McCarthy, I believe, in 2016. Because I knew like with Franz Ferdinand, they weren't like canceled. Like they didn't stop. That means they didn't like break up. But like I knew there's something different with the lineup. But yeah, with Always Ascending, to me, I read it in the reverse way that you did. So I thought the build up was like fine and cool. Like of course you're allowed to do that, especially because it looks like Always Ascending is the single, the name of the first song
Album.
and the album, which I think they did with Right Thoughts too. Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action.
Yeah, that was their single, because I remember when that came out, same
Yeah, that
single.
was and I think it was the first song on the album too. Which
I believe so.
it's always
Yeah.
interesting, but Always Ascending. No, but what I had a problem with actually is that, yeah, I want, and besides everything I said that was doing well, the fact that it's been a while since they made their last album, they really wanted to come out and say, we want to do something different, really push our music forward. They have the intent, they look like they're about to just like make a polished work that a mature band should make. But, excuse me, Always Ascending was a little bit, like, it's kind of promising, but the song kind of ran on a little long without much, like, variation in the sound. I felt like the last, like, half of it just felt a little bit, like, it dragged on. And maybe in context, that's because it's the first song on the album. But, like, that's still no excuse to make the first song on your album, like, drag on unnecessarily, unless you're trying to add context to a, like, to a album based on a topic or a theme or idea or something. Like a concept album, right? And then you definitely don't do that with your single. even if it's going to be radio edited, it just, like, yeah, it just dragged kind of on for me. And that, like, Franz Ferdinand sound, like, yeah, it's distinct and it's really nice, but it's also just, like, kind of there. And I don't see it changing enough for it to really pique my interest yet. But that's how I feel listening to one song, like, maybe three or four times, and there's still nine more songs, and Franz Ferdinand may have more tricks up their sleeve. In fact, I think they literally said in an interview they did.
Will.
Yeah.
They're a damn good band, so it's awesome. Like, I'm happy with it. It kind of caught me off guard. That makes me sick.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it did that for a lot of people, too, so.
All right.
Next
story. A little bit more intense, I guess. So, Bjork. Ever since the Harvey, like, Weinstein, revelations kind of came to light in the press, there's been this push by people to just, like, now's the time to share stories about your abusers, or, like, ask people who, like, might have been abusers themselves. Now's your time to, like, really, like, reconcile that and process that and think about, like, the effects you have on other people and how you can be better in the future. I mean, if you're, like, a semi-rational person, not, like, a total fucking monster, right? But that's basically, that started a trend of musicians, or, like, artists in general, but yes, especially musicians, coming out and detailing how, yeah, they suffered similar forms of, like, Harvey Weinstein abuse by, like, having unwanted sexual advances, leaning from, like, unwanted sexual advances, or, like, catcalling, things like that, to rape. Were done often, like, by people in positions of power over these people earlier in their careers when they were just trying to, like, make it, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's obviously, like, it's the most horrible kind of, like, abusive power dynamics ever. But back to Bjork, she detailed a sexual assault by a Danish movie director, apparently.
Bjork is one of my favorite artists, too. Like, holy shit, she's good. She has a new album coming out soon, too. That we're hella gonna review. Sorry to butt in, but
I saw
her post on Instagram and whatnot a few weeks ago on it too, and I go, whoa, what the hell? And then I saw some stuff too, and I go, no, not her, goddammit, she's really, really cool. Like, and I read up on it. So basically, alleged, she didn't, like, name him specifically, but
people can connect the dots, because the consequence of Sound article we're referencing is, like, it's throwing around Lars von Trier. It's caused many people to speculate that.
It's from Dancer in the Dark, which was released in 2000, I believe.
Yeah, it was a film that Bjork had, had some role in, right?
Yeah. I mean, she was pretty cool in it. Like, that's when she was really relatively new in the States or whatnot, because that was right after Homogenia came out. So she was still relatively small. Not, like, in Iceland and in Europe, she was starting to get pretty big at that time after her stuff with the Sugar Cubes and then she started her own solo career. And it's sad to see that when, you know, she tries to do something different, you know, go into a film, that this had to happen. Apparently, he was, not necessarily catcalling. I wouldn't know what you call it, but it was, go ahead.
Well, she had a Facebook post where she, like, kind of detailed mm-hmm. some of these things, where she made a list of things, and I guess, like, to try to read in with it, I'll go to part of it. When 2 months of this, when he's talking about just, like, different unwanted sexual advances, like, whenever she was alone and it was just, like, the director or whatever and her, he would, like, stroke her for minutes or, like, grab her against her wishes. constant, awkward, paralyzing, unwanted, whispered sexual offers. So, like, all these different, like, advances and clear things that were, like, it seemed like were being, like, denied by Bjork and seemed, like, totally inappropriate at the time. And, like, I mean, like, it sucks to hear, like, oh, yeah, like, her, oh, no, it's her, too. But, I mean, especially, like, as a, like, guy who is part of the Greek system and, like, that's, like, not the best, like, not the best place for, like, respect of, like, women or, like, even Greeks in general. Of course, I don't want to make invisible the victims of sexual violence who don't identify as women. It's just, like, a majority thing, I think it's safe to say. But, no, like, it's so common, and it happens with people so often, that it's, like, a national conversation, at the very least, about what we, as a society, teach people about respecting each other's, like, bodies and each other's personal autonomy. And, like, when people, like, acts like that just kind of show that you don't have that kind of basic respect for that person's, like, autonomy. You're just, like, really thinking about yourself. And, like, I just hate that. I detest it so much.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, as we said, like, 2-3 episodes ago, whatever, but, like, can't people just keep your shit to yourself, you know? Like, be nice, but, you know, men are usually raised that way or something, especially if you're a dude with power or something. You are always held up as this almighty person or some shit, which nobody is. We're all on the same planet, revolving the same sun, you know. Nobody's above anybody, but it's sad that this keeps happening. I'm glad, though, that more and more people are able to speak out. You know, they have the confidence to. They say, hey, I have now, it seems like everybody has the backing to do it, so...
Yeah, because everyone's doing it.
It's good that all of these revelations are starting to get out, so now people can pay the consequences of their actions, which they're supposed to do.
Not just, like, survivors of, like, this violence, but also, like, bystanders. Like, Quentin Tarantino had, like, a heartfelt, like, apology for knowing about the allegations against Harvey Weinstein and not doing anything about it. And, like, that's an important conversation, too. It's like, you can't be complicit in these things either, like...
No, and he knew that, and I'm glad that he did that, too. That's something... Yeah, this whole... The past 2-3 weeks is good to see more and more people being able to speak out against shit that you know you don't see, you know?
Yeah, like...
Behind-the-scenes work and everything. And I'm glad that people can speak up. Situations are, and hopefully these things can stop, you know.
Yeah, because they're less tolerated and more people are on alert.
Yeah, exactly. And be like, hey, you're if you do something stupid, it's gonna get out to the media. You know, it's gonna get out there, and
not only is gonna get out to the media, but hopefully, like, within institutions and corporations, it's like it's not even gonna like it'll get out to the media, but also you'll be dealt with. Like,
I was gonna say, but also
like
you'll
you won't
fired.
Be
yeah.
treated
Your
with
careers.
Kids' gloves. Yeah.
Your career is ruined, you know, and that's cool.
I mean, like, I don't know, like, I want to give some room for error for people to, like, I mean, it's obviously, like, a case-by-case basis, and, like, no, I'm not going to really, like, like, forgive a rapist, per se, right? But, I mean, if someone goes, like, hey, I shouldn't have touched you in that way, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to be better about it, and they prove it, like, I'm fine.
That's fine.
That.
Yeah,
but like
it's like, you know, hey, I didn't realize that this is wrong. You know, as shitty as that is, maybe people say, hey, I didn't realize that catcalling isn't the right thing to do, or that touching you or doing stuff without your permission wasn't the right thing to do. I apologize for that, and I will like move on and better myself from it. That's okay, and I want to see that. You know, I want that to be a cultural shift. It's kind of like, you know, how same thing with racial progress. You know, with saying, hey, I didn't, you know, I was raised in a different way, I didn't realize that it's really not that great to call you a certain word or to treat you a certain way just because you're different ethnicity than me. I'm going to change my ways, because I know people that have done that, be like, you know, hey, I'm going to change my ways and better myself as a person. Okay, cool. And I hope with these revelations and allegations that have been coming out that people will start to do that, you know, better themselves, better
And I generally
be better humans.
And I generally also hope that we just stop respecting these horrible people, because I barely even wanted to I barely even wanted to throw this into the podcast, but it just, like if I was gonna do it, it's here. So XXX, sorry about that horn. So XXX Temptation, we had talked to him a while, like a couple episodes back, about the insanely graphic domestic violence reports that occurred throughout 2016 and everything, and I was like, I'm not a violent past and everything, but like, what I'm always really annoyed at is by, like, hey, like, why the hell is, I mean, we all know these allegations are about him. It's really hard to lie about these, like, it's hard to get in a situation where someone would lie this specifically about you, unless you did something remotely close to it. And so, it's seems like a well-known fact in the music industry that XXXTentacion is this asshole. But, like, he still kept getting record deals, and he kept making money. It's like, is this annoying reminder that...
Yeah, he's making bank.
Like, is this annoying reminder that, like, there is no morality? It's just a cost-benefit analysis. Does it cost more money to not have this, like, psychopath on my record label, but, like, have a moral high ground, like, respect, like, send a precedent, or have this person on my record label, have some people hate me, but he makes a lot of money? It's like, and this keeps happening again, like, Bill O'Reilly, Roger Ailes, people in power are protected because they're in power, and they're not, like, given a check for basic things that would be bad. If, you know, if you were nobody, like, if you were no one, you had no talent, you're just like, I mean, not gonna say no talent, but, like, you just had, like, a regular average job, like, lower middle class, like, working class. You did, like, I think there's this whole, like, article in Vulture about, like, a timeline of his entire career where it shows, like, all of his domestic violence disputes, and in one moment, like, he punches a fan. Imagine you just, like, punch someone with as many witnesses as an entire audience, like, in the face. Like, you'd be in jail.
Right.
This person did, I'm not going to go into it here, it's just, like, super graphic, but you can check yourself if you're listening. Way worse to, I believe, a pregnant woman.
Abducted.
He was charged with aggravated battery of a pregnant woman and domestic battery by strangulation. Okay? Like, and, again, no one's doing anything about it. So, kind of in the vein of that entire thing, it's just, like, we need people to just kind of, like, stand up and, like, not just sit there when abuse is happening. It's, like, actually handle it.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing of trying to change culture of it. And it's starting to shift now, which is good. And we can only move forward from now.
Right.
So,
ready for a
Pelican
concert?
This is hilarious. I just read it. I don't even... All right. So, Lil B...
Okay, so, go ahead.
At Rolling Loud, apparently Boogie and his whole crew just jumped me in the back, is his quote. So apparently he was jumped, and was forced to cancel the set at the Rolling Loud Bay Area Festival in Mountain View, California. And, it's kind of wild and weird. It's like his quote and everything. I don't want to say it because
really
not allowed to say.
Yeah. Right. But, like, it's just, like, it's weird, because we were talking about the past couple weeks, like, no, I didn't know we were still on rap beefs.
He was about to say that, like, what is 2003? Like, are dudes still getting shot out, you know?
Like, I thought we moved
the
past
drive-by
this.
Show? I thought we passed this. But apparently Snoop wants to make America crip again, so we're getting back to rap beefs, you know? But more on that later.
A bit more, like, on that later, right? But, no, so let me just, like, clarify a little bit. So the guy who jumped him allegedly was apparently a guy named A Boogie with the Hoodie, who's an artist, and these names are so fucking dumb. And yeah, so he
Seriously?
Got jumped behind stage by 10 guys, and he says that, like, he's not going to retaliate, and he can't perform because all of his, like, equipment is stolen, but...
It's all good. It's all love.
Because... So the thing about Lil B, he's a Bay Area guy. He might even be from, like, Oakland or Berkeley, too, which is why, like, we ride him so hard, apparently. But, like, he preaches this, like, his message is, like, peace and kindness and love and respect. And, like, it's kind of
like
a dumb
your
gimmick,
hippie,
like,
hippie bullshit. Be like, yo, if someone jacks you, you gotta get your shit. Like, I don't know. Raise it the like, way, you, and I'm no hippie, goddammit.
I'm sorry, you can't live your life like Jesus.
Here, this is what it was. He said, hey, man, a boogie and his whole crew just jumped me in the back, man, and beat me up in the back, man. That shit crazy, man, but I'm gonna tell y'all like this, it's all love. I don't promote violence. I'm never with the violence, okay? So, I love them. It's all good, you feel me? It's all good. I said something about Boogie's music, and they all got mad, and they jumped me about that, so it's all good. I'm still here. I got jumped by like 10 motherfuckers. Me by myself. It's all love, though. Like I said, it's all love. I got love for everybody. So, I just want to tell y'all, because they stole my shit and everything, so I can't even do my show, because they stole my shit. Hey, but I say it's all love, though. And I love them. And I love y'all. This is just a testament to show, just because somebody do something to y'all don't mean y'all, you gotta retaliate. It don't matter. God is good. I'm alive. We all alive. It's your boy Lil B. Shout out to the bass God. Hey, new Lil B music coming soon, man. I'm about to hit this doctor to make sure I'm all good, man. These blank fuck me up. Let's get it. Well, okay. What
Shout
kind of
Lil B was the best content of the week?
What kind of hippie hood bullshit did you just spew out? Like if East LA was moved to Berkeley for about 3 hours, is this what it becomes? If Kumbaya. Fucking North Long Beach and Ramona Park is Yankee Stadium moved to Freeway the Bay Area Circle. For 4 hours, is this what's gonna happen? Like Vince Staples gonna say, oh yeah, I got love for everybody, like I
outside
don't care.
Of Cupertino, I'm pretty sure it's just the weed they have here.
Seriously, like what the hell? If that happened to any other rapper or anything, that would have been like, yo, I'm gonna kill him.
I mean, there was that. Right? It's like, yo. Would have been like Thugnificent in that episode of the Boondocks where you're just like staring still and just like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker.
He's like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker. He made a song called Stomping in the Nuts. He's gonna make it. That's what's gonna happen, you know? You got beef now. No, you don't love each other. What the hell? This isn't 1968. You're not fucking John Lennon coming back from the dead with long hair and shit. What is going on? Jesus, right? They must be smoking some ridiculous weed.
Pretty
what the hell
shit,
do they have up there? I mean, I don't even know what the hell they call it, but okay.
Susquehanna weed.
Susquehanna weed that they have up there in the north that makes you wild. Jesus
that you smoke
Christ.
And cough and it makes you wheeze. Like that segue?
I almost brought back the word that we've banned on the show. You need to go home and rethink your life, Dan. You need to just stop, stare at the mirror, rethink your life. Anyways.
With a bucket of pills. Okay, so Weezer released a new album.
Weezer
released a new album called
Pacific Daydream. The cucks are back. And, I want you to go
okay,
in first.
Okay, sorry.
I went to you need to go. Please go.
White people.
White
this album
people.
Is just like it's corny. Like really.
Yeah, exactly. It really is corny. Like,
I met a
Weezer's
girl,
stuff
I was trying
is,
to buy a guitar in Santa Monica and she smiled and
no,
she
no, there's two
doesn't
that
like getting
got
her
me.
Jeans wet.
There's two that got me, which is Beach Boys. Like, go and listen to the Beach Boys or some shit. I go, what? That's a song? And then the other one was, you made a song called Quarterback Blitz. QB Blitz. You need to... Yeah, you know what you need to do.
Which,
you know what
you need to do. You know what you need to do. It's right there. It's, y'all know.
You know.
Which is nothing involving anything that would cause you harm.
No ropes, but, no guns, no knives, nothing. You know what you need to do.
Just take a break, take a walk, not in front of any cars.
Take a walk, take a hike.
Okay, so
anyways, San Gabriel Mountains and chill.
To be fair, QB Blitz, like I think instrumentally, I enjoyed a lot of what this album had to offer. But I mean, like a
it's
lot, as in like 60%.
Yeah, there was a couple of songs, like Weekend Woman was decent, and La Mancha Screwjob was decent. Like the
I like that one
too. QB Blitz, yeah, the musicality was good, but the problem is their lyrics are
so corny. So bad.
So bad.
like
it's that one dude who gets friend zoned over and over and over again and doesn't know what to do, and this is his album.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's Luke's like pathetic guy with an acoustic guitar who tries to get laid music.
We all know that guy.
We all know that guy.
Walks around campus with a guitar, sits
he
down.
He goes, "Hey, I'm sensitive. Wears flip flops.
I'm cool." And he wears flip flops and like a loose fitting V neck with some Adidas sweats, and plays a shitty acoustic guitar. And
doesn't text you back
that way. Oh Jesus Christ.
No, but like it just it's weird because like Amanda's album is like decent, it's passable, but it's gotta be said when one thing about the album, about an album, is so glaringly bad that it distracts from everything else.
It really does, and usually like on certain albums and or certain things you can almost ignore the lyrics and you just kind of go with the tune, you know, like
that's what I do with a lot of music.
That's what, honestly, that's what a lot of music is, and then if you want to dive in deeper, you just have to look up the lyrics, because A, usually people's accents are too thick, or they do something else, or if it's Sigur Rós, one of my favorite bands, they literally don't have words, they just make sounds for that reason, then it's like, you know, this is really good, and you can kind of make your own, you know, your own perceptions of the music, your own, what you relate it to, your own, like, what you're going through right now, may put the album into a different hold than it would, except when the lyrics are so strong or so like out there, you can't ignore them, and you go, "This is just bad." Like the music isn't bad; they're good. They're good musicians, but yo,
right? I mean, they're passable musicians.
Your writing is terrible.
I would have them play at a NASCAR halftime show. It would be nice. They're fine musicians, but like it's just
like fucking hate Feels Like Summer. I hate that song. Oh my god, it's so bad. It's that corny, bullshit, stupid electronic crap that every alternative band's been doing. Thank god it was only for like one or two songs. That was it. If the whole album was that, I think I would just like stop listening to new music for the rest of my life. But
Weezer had restraint. I'll give them that. They had restraint.
Yeah, and they kind of like halfway through the album, they reverted back to their older sounds. It sounded like it was weird. The first half was like they tried to change it, but like they got scared. And oh, I was about to say something wild, and I don't think I can say that. So the first half of the album, they're like try to change it, but then like put their toe in the water, got scared, ran away, and then reverted back to their old shit. And their old shit's okay. It's still corny, but it wasn't as corny as this.
Yeah,
this is a whole new level of
like. I remember in 2000,
awful.
I remember in 2005, I would listen to Weezer and go like, "These lyrics are so fucking dumb." But like, I would like kind of just like go, psh, and then like still kind of dance a little bit to it, because like, you know, it was still like a catchy tune. Like they knew how to make a 2000s like rock album, like a 2000s like, easy listening slow rock album.
Like the White album that came out last year, I believe, or 2 years ago, whenever that came out. Yeah, last year. Like they had like it's not my favorite stuff, but they had a couple decent songs on there where you could put in the background and chill, you know, and that it definitely did that. Whenever I would be at people's houses, which is rare, because I don't, you know, I'm like Vince Staples. When you go to a party, that means you're gonna get shot, so we kind of stay in the hotel room. But this one is like,
that's your life then. Wow.
Right? No, he was quoted saying that, and I go, that's rough. This is just, it's too in your face. You can't ignore it at all. That's rough.
Yeah. Ready to break out the arbitrary scale?
Oh. I mean,
you use letters too much, so we need to pick numbers. Anything else?
I mean, on a scale, no one's gonna
bananas. How many bananas out of five?
This is a rotten two bananas. Like you could use in a smoothie, but you can't eat by themselves. Feel me? Like you could blend that shit, put some sugar in, and strawberries, and you know you got. They're
like
at
some
point
Rice
of
Krispies.
No return, where you have to put them in the freezer or they're done.
Might go well in some Rice Krispies.
Right. So yeah, so, I don't like it. My normal score, which is out of 10, just for reference, it's like a 4.5, 5. Solid.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I'm even a little bit nicer. I give it like a 5 to 6, maybe. Again, like the instrumentation is like not special, but like pretty good. And I wish like artists would.
It's bog standard, but it's I can't ignore it. Like it's so in your face. It's like The Killers. How Brandon or not Brandon? Brandon Flowers. His voice is so powerful. It's the same thing for Weezer. The guy's voice. I can't think of his name. The lead singer, his voice is so powerful that whatever they write has to be at least decent because it's in your face. And yeah, that's the problem. And, you know, it's either going to flop or it's going to be good. And this one flopped heavy, at least for me.
Yeah, it's not good. Oh, they're playing at Amoeba on November 1st in LA.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I got better things to do. Fuck them. I want to see Tom York in Oakland. The fuck are you talking about?
Sit in traffic to watch Weezer at a record store.
Dude,
that's so rough.
That's fucking
sitting in traffic
rough.
For an hour.
I don't know what's worse.
To park at a record store that may not exist next year to listen to Weezer.
I don't know what's rough.
Nothing says like death of industry quite like that. Late stage capitalism at its finest.
Or sitting in traffic to see a Chargers game. That's pretty bad. Those of you who don't know,
so much trouble.
American football, because we have an international audience. American football team.
That
Chargers,
we do.
Suck balls, and they are in LA now. They used to be in San Diego. And they're kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Horrible.
What team you'd want to.
Hot garbage.
They are hot garbage. You know, like Bundesliga, every team has fans. Like, almost every stadium sold out, no matter what, even the shitty teams. Freiburg got fans. Darmstadt in second league Bundesliga has more fans than the freaking Los Angeles Chargers do.
That's just sucks. It's like, no one likes the fact the Chargers left their city. No one likes the fact that LA asterisk has two scenes. Shout out to the Carson Rams. And no one likes that.
A Carson Rams.
And no one likes that. Well, LA fans are fickle. Like, that's just a fact.
LA fans are awful, but I can talk like 3 hours on it. How much
fair weather heart. We made it. All right, next up, Drake chooses to not submit More Life for the Grammys. More Life was his like playlist project thing that was released earlier this year. It included like Passion Fruit, Portland, Blem was a big song on that people really liked.
Passion Fruit was, I think, the biggest one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I even remember listening to that. It's alright. This is interesting. So wait, for the Grammys, you have to submit?
Yeah, so so the artist has to submit their, they have to submit their work or whatever to whatever category, and by the artist, you know, that ends up being management, right?
Means management, because I know there's many artists that don't want to do that, but they did it anyway, but their management made them do it, basically.
They don't do it. Their manager goes like, hey, I have a friend who works for the Academy, or like, you know, the Grammys and everything. Let's say, you know, just to slip this one in, see the nominations, and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And so for the reasoning to why, there's a lot of reasons. A, there's this whole, like, is it a playlist versus is it a mixtape versus is it an album thing that's been, like, floating back and forth between artists? Like, right. I mean, like, I mean, back when it made sense to me, mixtapes were on, like, those, like, hip-hop DX websites where, like, you got, like, an artist, okay, here's some songs I slapped together with a couple different artists that I, like, made in, like, GarageBand really fast, but now all music is... But, like, now all music almost feels like that, especially pop music. And so, like...
It really does. It's, like, More Life thrown together.
Yeah, like, call More Life a... call it whatever you want to call it. But, like, it was on the Billboard 200. It debuted number one. It features Drake's most heard songs this year. Like, why isn't this an album other than the fact that Drake calls it a playlist?
Because Drake's being a fucking hipster.
Well, it's not only... I mean, Drake's, like, a prominent person doing that, but Drake's not the only one. There are a lot of artists who are like, this is like, a mixtape, this is an EP, this is a project. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to tell someone, hey, you must categorize your shit how you want it to be. But I don't really think even that's the real reason. He did, I mean, like, so according to an article from Spin, like, the Grammys have been receptive towards him in the past, but he boycotted the Grammys from earlier this year because he was upset that, like, Hotline Bling, which is a pop song, won a song for, like, best rap song and collaboration. And his response was, like, maybe because I rapped in the past, because I'm black, I can't figure out why. So I guess he just hates that. I guess he just hates that because of his race, he seems to be stuck in one category, which is funny from the guy who's a fake Jamaican. But, like...
yeah, let's say, but the dude is a fake Jamaican as hell.
Right.
Dude, you're from fucking Canada, mate. You're on Degrassi. That's... You're no Jamaican. You're not, you're not slipping banana boats, you know? You're not smuggling rum, allegedly, into the island, you know?
You're a half-black Canadian in Toronto. Like, your black card doesn't have that many points on it.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Like...
I'm sorry, but
I can't say that because, like, I think I know more black people than Drake does. But
I mean, like, there are. I mean, I
scratch that.
I hate to play these kind of, like, Olympic games, but, like, Drake, you didn't have the hardest life, honestly. Let's be real. But right. I don't know. I mean, it's up to him. It's his decision. I just think it's kind of weird, but whatever.
It's really another, weird. But I mean, there's a lot of people that hate the Grammys, so more power to them because fuck them.
Yeah,
it just becomes a giant shit show for popular people who have money, and except the one time their fucking Beck won out of nowhere, which is weird.
Yeah, that whole thing, that was because basically the way it works was that it was a split vote in the Grammys, so like All the other artists were similar enough, and you can read that however you want to. I think it was Pharrell Williams, maybe Beyonce or something, and like they split up pop a lot, basically. And so, what happened after that was because pop was split, all the people who like rock and everything were like, "Well, Beck's our only option." So, at least that's how I've heard it be explained.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. That's rough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to that because I think I dug myself into a hole. I hope nobody listened to me on that.
Yeah. Anyways, so Fats Domino, he's a singer, songwriter, rock and roll guy, piano player. Just like really prolific person. He died at the age of 89 over last week.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. Like he's such a distinctive sound of, like, he's from New Orleans, right? And that, like, kind of, like, New Orleans, like, swing, jazz kind of style, he obviously didn't create it. He obviously, like, just, like, incorporated it into his music, but, like, it's a damn good incorporation, and it, like, was just, like, really, it's, like, amazing sounds, right? Like, that he's capable of doing. Like, hold on, I'm just, like, reading off of some of the stuff that, I think he produced a lot of hits for people. Right? I know for sure, like, he had his own things. Like, in 1950... Wow, that's so long ago. 1955.
The dude's been around forever.
Yeah, he had a single that, like, cracked the top 10 at one point. It's just, like, again, just so much of a person. Like, so much musical energy, I guess, from a person. Just really... like, shocking.
Some people are built for that, you know? And it's sad. Again, it's like a changing of the old guard. And that's slowly but surely happening now. You've seen that with older musicians and everything. But that's life.
Yeah, you know? and he lived a good long life, too. I mean, like, we've got a lot of tragic and abrupt kind of artist deaths, but, like, 89, I think that's, like, that's good.
No, that's a damn good life. Hell, yeah. 89, like, shit, I don't know if I want to live that long. The hell?
Probably not.
Time. Right? I'm gonna, like, have a heart attack from riding a bike too fast.
Yeah, that doesn't shave off any years, right?
Right. Anyways, going to Uncle Rap, as we called it here on...
More Uncle Rap, yes.
Podcast. More Uncle Rap.
Snoop Dogg.
If that's what he goes by still, because I remember he
DL Double G, the official grandpa of Long Beach.
The official everybody's uncle in Long Beach, who still gives sneakers to football players in Long Beach Poly. It's rough. Has an album called Make America Crip Again, which is kind of funny, just for the
hashtag
title.
No politics.
Hashtag no politics. He has, like, the album cover is the stupid MAGA hat, but it says Crip Again, you know, instead of...
Yeah.
Fake.
And it's, like, blue instead of red, so it's, like, it's a definite contrast. And I need to come out and apologize here. So I skimmed this album. I mean, I skimmed the article that I found this in, and I assumed it was the usual album announcement where it's like, hey, I announced an album, it's coming out soon, but in the meantime, here's a single, etc., right? Sean actually read and realized that the full album actually dropped yesterday at the time of recording, so on October 27th.
Yep. I did my job.
Yeah, and I didn't. So I didn't hear... I just thought it was... I only heard Maka, so Make America Crip Again, which was the also name of the album, lead single, and first song on the album. So I heard that, and like my opinion on that single, Sean, you can say what you thought about the full, or like what you heard of the album a little bit. It was just like, yeah, more Uncle Rap. It's, I get it, Snoop Dogg's like a brand, and he's like, he's cooking with Martha Stewart now, right? That's... You wouldn't have been able to tell... When I was five, you wouldn't have been able to tell me that.
that's a bad day.
But... So wild. But, like... Again, like, he's... Okay, like, he had bars, and he's, like, done a couple things, but, like, his flow is just... It's so outdated. There are artists
just cheap. The main thing is, like, the Maka, the song, is, like, auto-tune heavy, and it's just
awful and
bad, and that was, like, the theme of the album. When I listened to it, I go, what is this? It's not trap bad, because I have a deep hatred of trap now, as I've kind of discovered, but this is just, like, corny and garbage. Like, it's just not good. It's not even funny.
Yeah, you know, I imagine it's
also,
just like,
also the second song, Three's Company, it features the beater Chris Brown, so you know I can't ever fuck with you. also there's another song that features Designer Flow, so when I saw the list, I'm like, I don't even want to listen to this, but I am for the people, because I'm a true lover of the people, you know, like I'm a true freedom fighter for
them. Fuck them,
right? No, you're not for the cause, right?
Except
actually,
I mean, like, super bad. I'm super sorry I didn't listen to the whole album. I'm not going to, really. Right? Like, again, like, Snoop Dogg was great for his time. His old shit was great, but he needs to be, like, he's lucky enough that he was able to turn being himself into a personal brand, something that I, like, really aspire to do. And so, like, people know him for his personality, for his style. He has kind of, like, a no-bullshit kind of personality, which sucks. It's, like, a bullshit, like, album, at least from what it sounds like. Definitely from what the single sounded like. And definitely from, like, the whole, like, semi-fake virtue thing. I mean, I don't think, like, there's some artists who I feel like are playing up the I hate Trump shit more. Yeah. I tend to give... like, some artists of color a pass, especially, because it's like, no, I definitely know a lot of that hate's definitely there. But, again, like, Snoop Dogg, keep smoking weed, keep making, like, types, like, keep branding types of weed as your own and selling it in dispensaries, allegedly. Keep hosting that show with Martha Stewart, keep making celebrity appearances, stop making music, please.
Just stop, you don't need to anymore, like, retire, please. For music, at least, you know. Look, Mos Def bowed out and he's chilling, but
yeah,
you know, some people don't get that. Anyways, on to more stuff. Songkick.
Industry shit.
Songkick is apparently shutting down, supposedly.
Yeah.
This is these ticketing operations. Missed a legal fight with Ticketmaster, the freaking devil's advocate. Ticketmaster, StubHub, they're all
literally the devil's advocate. Live Nation.
Ugh, they're awful. Because just trying to buy freaking tickets for stuff is just, it's rough.
Let's just give some context. So Songkick, they specialized, like, what they really did was, like, they were like a platform that artists could use to sell tickets directly to fans, which I think is awesome. You're cutting out the middle person.
Yeah.
The artists can have a lot more control over how that revenue is spent. And like, I mean, it may not be done in like the best or most efficient way, but that's on the artist. And like, that's a direct, that's the most free market thing, is that the artist gets to decide what they do with the money, and then the fans get to decide they continue giving them that money. Yeah, exactly, right? But so Songkick tried to do that, but Ticketmaster is just like using their pressure as like an essential, I don't know if it's like a monopoly or duopoly, but like they're like the big ones in the game, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
And so they're bowing the pressure from that, because obviously Ticketmaster, that, you know, they don't like that they're not getting their cut.
Yeah, they're like, we're like Jeff Bezos, we need more money, because
first of the month, where's the money?
we don't have enough money to stack onto our money to sleep in our bed made of money. Because exactly. You know, we're terrible people.
Because, you know, Ticketmaster might come in 0.3% below earnings, and that's the end of that company.
Because capitalism, you need to keep going. That's a different topic. No hashtag, no politics.
No. Oh, we haven't even gotten to Fox News yet. Anyways.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. We have, like, another half hour.
It's funny. It sounds like a No Chill Island, but it's not. It's just No Chill Island, but one story, and I'm not bleeping anything. I have opinions, yeah. But... No, it's, like, overall, like, with this, so Songkick is going to shut down after October 31st. That's, like, Monday. Tuesday.
Yeah.
This Tuesday, right? Like... The next episode of Audio Face Songkick won't exist. Which is just, like, it's crazy. And I hate that there's antitrust, but considering how our government barely cares about antitrust, especially when there's conservative people in government that like to deregulate antitrust laws, mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's not.
We're eventually going to be doing this podcast brought to you by Verizon, Ticketmaster, Google, Songkick, Amazon. Ticketmaster, oh, Amazon.
We're getting bought out by Amazon. Syndicate 23 is getting bought out by Amazon. Amazon 23 is all this. Allegedly.
Nightmares. You heard it here first. Alright, next, Sean, take the wheel. So, Sean, you want to talk more.
Yes.
I mean, like, a lot of... So first explain why you wanted to bring up the story, and then,
okay.
Totally take the wheel.
So, obviously, this is a music podcast, and one of the biggest things that... I mean, we haven't really dabbled into, because I know we didn't want to originally, but I think it's important to do it occasionally, I think, when this happens, is film scores. I think they're very important when they're done right, and they have good artists that make them, if that makes any sense, you know? Where, I mean, there could be corny ones of all the stupid superhero movies that come out, this and that. There's nothing special about that. But when there's an actual very, very good drama film or indie film that comes out, and I know the artist previously, or I've watched the film and I like the score, I'm going to bring it into the podcast so that everybody know. So that way they can, if they want to, they can go and see the film. Mainly, even if they don't like the genre, or don't like the director or whatever... just to listen to the music. So with this, one of my, you know how much love we give to Radiohead on this podcast. I mean, the podcast is named Audio Face. So, whoops. I try not to talk about them that much, but I've never really done a thing for Johnny Greenwood and his, you know, his solo works, which I think are some of the best solo musician works of the past 60 years, you know, where his compositions and stuff are brilliant. So with that, he's done another film score for Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread, which is coming out, at least in the States, coming out on Christmas Day, December 25th. It's also Daniel Day-Lewis, who's, I think, one of the best actors ever. His final role.
This is the last
final
film?
Role. Yeah, his final film. And the last time...
Daniel Day-Lewis from Lincoln.
From my favorite
so
movie ever, which is There
films.
Will Be Blood. Yeah. His Johnny Greenwood stuff on The Master, There Will Be Blood, Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice was okay, but it was more of a comedic style. Are some of the greatest film scores I've listened to, you know, next to Hans Zimmer or John Williams. And I want people to go and see this, if they can. It's a film set in the 50s. fashion world. It might kind of be slow paced for people, but just go for the score. Like, listen to the music. Like, watch the trailer and listen to the music, and you'll be like, oh shit, this is actually pretty cool. It's the main thing is it's unique, it's different, you know? It's not this whole corny, in-your-face, big brass instrument bullshit that we've been, you know, force-fed the past decade, basically, of all the superhero movie bullshit that's always out there. This is a
enormous fanfare.
This is a true and true drama film that has a unique score, and I want more and more people to listen to it. So, I mean, it's going to be an occasional thing here on Audio Face of whenever I watch something, because I'm a big movie, like a film guy. I love watching stuff. So whenever I see something that I like the soundtrack to, or you know, somebody who, a musician I know that's doing it, a soundtrack for a film, then I will definitely review it and tell you guys to do that. So when it comes out on Christmas Day, then I'll watch it, of course. And let you guys know. And there you go.
Yeah, if I'm down in LA, I might.
Yeah, you are, because I'm gonna watch it like 6 times. Like, I'm diving in that movie. It's gonna be beautiful.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, if when you're here, you're going to watch that with me. All right. Sticking with the theme of the best, right, greatest band on Earth, Radiohead.
This is gonna be the most fun thing ever.
I'm too heated. So, go. I can't.
Let me set the tone. So,
I'm also trying to send an email potential new coach, too, and this is hilarious because I have to delete this because my thoughts are so sporadic speaking about music and trying to type at the same time.
Oh, yeah, then you type your thoughts out. This is hilarious. Okay, so. Oh god, I'm reading this.
It's bad.
Show than I
it's
thought.
It's
okay,
bad.
So let me. It's so bad. Okay, let me explain. Oh god, I didn't. Okay. So Fox News has the Greg Gutfeld show. I didn't know he had his own show. So it's like a Fox News like attempt at having like a late night comedy show. And I'm trying to even understand why Radiohead was like in the conversation. And, it's because of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. We were talking about that a couple weeks ago. And then, one of the guests on the show, Kat Temp, who was a correspondent, was like, I don't even like them, referring to Radiohead. But the kind of guys that I like have to be three things: strange, malnourished, and sad. Those guys always like Radiohead. So I've always been having to pretend to like Radiohead for years to get these men, even though the music is just elaborate moaning and whining for ringtone sounds. You know what? If that's not fame and power, that will get me to do that for someone else that I don't know what is. Which I don't... What opinion is she trying to make?
Wait,
exactly? Is this
rap? First thing is, Johnny Greenwood wins on this because he set his Twitter bio, which is... his Twitter bio says, my life in a gush of boasts. And then he says, strange, malnourished, and sad. So he put in his Twitter bio because of what Greg Gutfeld said. That's how you know you're winning. When you're like, nah, fuck you, I'll put it in my bio. You say that's what our fans are? Cool, then I'm one of them.
That's right, how exactly. Little I care about.
I'm like, you're winning so much on that. But anyways, continue.
So that was number two. He added to his Twitter bio, which was like a little bit of response. Did anyone else from Radiohead respond yet? Or was it even like,
I have no idea. Tom York probably doesn't give a flying fuck, or he's gonna like yell in Berkeley about it or something. I don't know.
Right. He plays in Berkeley again.
What was it that he said? He was like, if you're an old rich white male, get the fuck out, or something like that.
Yeah, he was like,
dude,
so
blunt. He was going off when we saw him. That was hilarious.
No. I think he was like, oh yeah, how many white dudes are in the audience? And they're like,
yeah, it was old white dudes. It was something like that.
Yeah, it's like, how many old white dudes are in the audience? And they're like, yeah, it's like, get the fuck out.
Like, whoa, Tom, you're hating on your people right now.
Hashtag no politics, right?
Yeah. Anyways.
And so we thought this was over.
And then
Coldplay. Oh, wait, so sorry. I forgot. The weirdest part of that story was that the Fox interview is I think Greg Gutfeld called Radiohead the poor man's Coldplay.
That's what he said at the end.
Which is funny because I guess Greg Gutfeld listens, because I've literally said the other way around.
Because Coldplay
is
influenced by Radiohead, but okay.
Coldplay is poor man's Radiohead.
You hear that in their music in the early 2000s, and they've been quoted on that. Yeah, we were influenced by Radiohead.
Radiohead is poor man's Coldplay. Yes, because Coldplay was, like, started after Radiohead.
Deadass. Keep going.
I mean, do you expect him to know things
about politics?
Anyways, whoops. Coldplay responds about the whole, like, oh, it's poor man's Coldplay. And they tweet out, finally someone had the balls to say it. Which is just like, it's so sad.
It's so bad.
It's so wrong. I remember seeing a film where someone was like in traffic and they're looking at bumper stickers and shit. And he saw something that said like, Coldplay is my favorite band as a bumper sticker, and he like
wanted
to kill himself.
That's bad. Oh, you brought it back. Oof.
Yeah. I mean, like, that was in the movie. I'm just saying, just quoting the movie. But, yeah, so, in addition to, like, just how generally ridiculous that thing is, I honestly thought that was over. I honestly thought that was it. And then today, before we started, because at this point, Greg Gutfeld was just like, oh my god, someone's talking about me. I'm making headlines. People are talking about me. This is amazing. I gotta keep this shit going. Greg Gutfeld probably spent all week trying to write down his best, like, Radiohead one-liners. I was like trying to think about how he would do it, but anyway, so he eventually says that. Sorry, I was like trying to get all this out, but eventually he says that if he could do an executive order, he would ban Radiohead in public places. Everyone knows they're a poor man's air supply. Was Gutfeld's response?
What the.
Is Air Supply a band? Did Air Supply pay for that sponsorship?
Hold on!
Air Supply is an Australian soft rock duo consisting of singer-songwriter Graham Russell and lead vocalist Russell Hitchcock.
I am literally speechless because I've never heard of them before. Hold on. Let's check.
No, I'm like looking at this and like, this is a 19, like, this band started in 1975.
Oh, I know who they are.
And
I know
Greg Gutfeld's like,
I just went on Spotify real quick and
I've never heard of them.
What they sound like.
But like,
I know who they are.
Let's pretend Greg Gutfeld cares about music for a moment, okay? They don't sound alike. Why would you say, like, Radiohead's a poor man's, like, it doesn't sound like they sound similar. Australian soft rock to rate? No,
it
doesn't sound similar.
It isn't similar because I know who they are. I just had to look up their, put a song real quick, and I go, okay, yeah, I know who they are. That's funny. What the fuck? What is this dude's beef? Just because I disagree with you politically? Like, really?
And then I really don't know, but probably. And then apparently. Gutfeld also said, I also hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're a poor man's Smash Mouth. It's like he learned one joke. He's like a kid who learned one joke
and beating a dead horse.
Stop repeating
it. It's not even funny. It's just he looks like an idiot.
I want All Star by Smash Mouth to play at Greg Gutfeld's funeral.
I'm gonna refrain.
Just like as they're lowering the casket, just like, hey now, you're an all-star.
Hey now. Oh, God, no, I can't. Dan, I want to say
stop,
but I'm not, because it's gonna be about 2 minutes of bleep if I say anything. I gotta be careful. Like, it's gonna be Bam on We Made a Podcast going wild and saying some things. It's that quality. Like, it's beautiful, but I can't do it for the people.
But we'll save that for another No Chill Island. But I think the main takeaway here is to not get your music information from someone who sexually harasses
and
people.
And who... No politics. That's just no
look
politics.
It up. It literally happens.
It's not. The fake network.
Right.
fake plastic network. Fake plastic trees.
Right.
Just... Okay. Please,
recommendations
God.
Time.
Alright, hey, Greg, you want to know music? You want to get some recommendations? Listen up.
Listen up.
Alright. Listen to Yun Junior Boys. They're from Jesus Christ, I can't speak. From Canada, they're a duo, Jeremy and Johnny. Jeremy Greenspan and Johnny Dark. Jesus Christ, they're good. I first learned about... Well, I heard them on Morning Becomes Eclectic, because, you know, that's where I get all of my fucking new music from. I heard them a couple years ago, and I listened to them periodically, but, like, in passing. I never, like, looked them up, just whenever they had it on MBE. I'm like, okay, cool. And then Bam, who's one of my good friends, and obviously the co-host of We Made It podcast, he... loves the Junior Boys. Like, those are his like, that's his shit.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him a while ago. I'm like, I should probably listen to them. And he like, told me a couple albums to listen to. And I go, holy shit. Because I know they released an album last year, Big Black Coat. And I remember listening to that on MBE. And, like, the big song was Over It.
Oh, yeah. It's still active? I didn't know that.
I said they're Over It, the song Over It, and it's good. But the entire fucking album of Big Black Coat is just phenomenal. It's like, I just totally dropped my phone, so sorry, Dan. You're just gonna hear boop, 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 boop. It's this...
That was only miserable for me.
Yeah, house music with vocals in the background, basically, is the best way I can put it, just to describe it. It's very, very unique. You know how, like, Roosevelt is unique in that same way of, like, disco, synth pop with vocals in the back? It's like that, but with house music. And it's so good. Big Black Coat, the whole album is amazing. M&P, No One's Business, Baby Don't Hurt Me. Like, it's all good. They even have, like, an EP that I love. Kiss Me All Night EP, which is fucking amazing. Like, Baby Fat on there is good, yes. Just listen to them, please. They're really, really good.
No, you sold me on it. I hadn't heard of them either, but I know, like, you had talked about them. And, like
honestly, start...
Sounds nice.
...with the Kiss Me All Night EP, because that shit is... I know you'll love it. Yeah, start with that.
Okay.
And that... Those four songs kind of give you an idea of what their music is, and then from there you can dive into their albums. Because I have, what, four albums, I believe? One, two, three, four, five albums, sorry. So I forgot about Last Exit. Because,
yeah.
So This Is Goodbye is a damn good album, too. Yeah, listen to them shit. Bam's going to be very happy that I dropped Junior Boys. Because whenever I'm like going out with him or something, he's like wearing a Junior Boys shirt and some shit, and I know his Twitter picture for a while was a picture with him and the dudes from the band. It's good. Listen to them. Anyways, what's yours?
Right, Sean, are you about to grill me? Are you about to grill me on my choice?
Oh God. Okay.
So this is gonna be an interesting story in which I eat more of my words, because I remember that horrible week where. We actually reviewed, God, what's his name? I forget, it's so irrelevant. He got kicked out of the stage on EDC.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, DJ Khaled. We actually sat through that album. And I think that week it also happened that, like, 21 Savage's Issa album came out. And I was just like, no, fuck it, I'm not doing that. I don't care. I was just too angry. But, like, I had kept hearing the single. Well, like, there were no official singles from the album. But it's just something about the... starting track on an album in this episode, but yeah, the starting track on his album is Bank Account, and it goes
really?
So hard. It's in my head.
I remember Dan
I
texting
it.
Me a few
yeah.
days or like last week or something, saying like, "Yo, 21 Savage is actually really good," so I'm gonna have to actually give it a try.
Well, let me rephrase that. So I listened to Issa album just like kind of on myself, like just by myself, the past like week or so, and like it's. Everything I like and dislike about Gucci Mane. Like, it's really good trap music. It's like... But also, not as many of the stupid sound effects. So there's not
okay,
there's
so
a plus.
There's no...
But, like, it's trap, so stupid sound effects.
Crap.
I mean, there is. There's a checklist they have to, like, abide by, right? But it's not as obnoxious and overly done as it is in Gucci Mane's things. Our friend Metro Boomin produced Bank Account, but you don't hear his little
singing. Oh, okay, good, because you don't hear Young Metro.
Song, so there's that, Sean.
Young Metro, don't like you, I'm going to shoot you. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to, like, explode.
You're going to hear that 30 more times, at least. Seriously. Maybe by the end of the year.
Gucci's going to make a new fucking album or some shit, allegedly.
But yeah, the whole album itself, it's repetitive in the sense that, like, trap always kind of gets repetitive to me near the end, which is, like, it's all kind of the same, like, rhythmic way you talk about the lyrics, and it's kind of, like, the beats are very similar, too, because, like, the drums are, like, the percussion's really fast. It's, like, it's really formulaic, and the fact that it's kind of formulaic just, like, drags it back. But no, like, I felt the same way I did listening to this album, the same way I felt listening to Mr. Davis, an album that I thought was, like, pretty good. So I felt like it would be only fair to just mention that and eat my own words. Because I did say I've definitely never listened to 21 Savage because I didn't, like, care about it at all. But, like, nope, I sucked. And it's, like, later, I mean, his earlier work I haven't gone back into yet. And I'm probably, like, I don't know how I'll feel about it. Oh, no. I looked into his 2016 album, Savage Mode. Every single, I mean, the whole album's produced by Metro Boomin. So it's probably going to be that signature of every single album. Or every single song, I mean.
Okay. That's rough.
So you probably won't listen to that. But since we haven't done this in a while, the big thing we wanted to, like, kind of go off of is just, like, the stuff from Vince Staples is, like, past. Because, like, we had both, like, we reviewed Big Fish Theory, we liked it, and we saw Vince Staples live, but, like, and you had listened to some of the stuff in the past, but I also just spent, like, the last week just, like, listening to the entire discography.
Yeah, I listened,
like,
to
it.
I listened to the whole discography a while ago.
Sorry, I'm not going to say it's all perfect.
It caught me off guard. I didn't realize that's what he did before Big Fish
Theory. Right.
Because, like, I heard when North North came out and everything, that wasn't last year. I heard a couple things, but not, like, the whole discography until mid this year, right before Big Fish Theory came out. And you were telling me, like, yeah, you were listening to it this week, and you're like, dude, some of this stuff goes hard, but it's weird. Like, we didn't think that's what he would sound like, but it's good. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, remember, he's 23, too, so, like, a lot of these earlier albums, he's, like, kind of figuring out what his, like, sound and voice is and what his flow is, and that's, like, the best representation of what that was, like, when he was, like, 20 or, like, 21 or whatever, as you're listening to some of these albums. But, like, lyrically, he's, like, still great even back then, and so it's just, like, it's nice to see, like, a career that's definitely, like, about to really take off, and just, like, the trajectory of that.
It's good.
Also, I love all the little, like, Long Beach references littered throughout the entire, like, all of his work. Like, it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's cool. Yeah, listen to his old stuff, like, Blue
Suede. What would you
recommend
from
that song? It's kind of funny. It's stuff like that. From, I can't think of the album name where his house is on, the house is on fire in the background. Hell Can Wait. There.
Hell Can Wait.
That album is pretty good. It's not nearly like Big Fish Theory, because that's, like, dude, holy
Which
shit,
is definitely
that
his best album.
Really good. That's definitely point. Getting an award on the Audio Face Awards show coming December. It could be.
We don't know yet.
Stay tuned.
Could be. You never know. Don't even have categories.
We gotta have the fake news category now, just for Greg now, for the Radiohead shit. Greg Gutfield.
No, we should have a KYS category just for Greg. Was that too far?
Anyways, guys, this was a good episode.
Otherwise,
No.
So sorry. Last thing, Prima Donna. I want to recommend
Prima Donna's good.
Prima Donna and Pimp Pan from the album Prima Donna 2016, I really like. Of course, North North, if you haven't heard that, for God's sake. And then Fire from Hell Can Wait, I also really liked.
We'll do that. But, alright.
Das ist
Fetish. Yeah, I'm Byron 1, so everything's good in the world. Stay tuned, Neil. So, chill. We got Champions League stuff coming up, so we're resting guys, and even though Leipzig's one of the best teams, Bundesliga, got red card early in the first title, but anyways, to hear more about that, you should listen to the We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 23 Network. Caesar and Bam out there doing the good things out for football world, soccer. And you can follow me, Sean Suarez, on Twitter and Instagram at SWSuarez, to follow my triathlon in adventures and my occasional music outbursts on Twitter, which is very rare, but it does happen. And then where do we follow you, Dan?
Yep. Ready for the song and dance? Okay, Twitter at Dan from the web and Instagram
there
at
Dan.
There
you go. You're here first. All right, thank you for tuning in. We love all of you because, you know, we're like Lil B. We love everybody.
Thank you so much for listening.
All is love.
No hate, except for Greg Gutfeld.
All is love, all is good. That was episode 23, so tune in next week for more stuff. We're starting to get to the end of the year and more good stuff coming out, so yeah.
Cannot wait to do this. It's going to be so fun.
All right, cheers, guys.